The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 3 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Mswantha Punkana, and here are today's headlines. Remembering the victims of the Polytechnique massacre. Could a higher minimum wage hurt small businesses? And a poll suggests Canadians prefer more private healthcare. The 7th edition of the Order of the White Roses ceremony will be taking place later today to announce the winner of a large bursary. Our reporter, Sarah Aldalba, is there now. Sarah, what is the purpose of the ceremony?
The organizers of this event, the Order of the White Rose, will be announcing the winner of a $30,000 bursary for a woman who wants to pursue graduate studies in engineering anywhere in the world. The order, which was created in 2014, came up with this idea to celebrate female engineering students anywhere in Canada 25 years after the Polytechnique massacre of 1989. Viviane Audet, a musician that composed the music for a documentary about the massacre, says that it is important to commemorate the women that died.
Those girls was fabulous. They was young. There was the life before them, and we can't forget her.
How did the organizers decide the winner of the bursary?
The members of the jury looked at academic records, social commitment, and the technical achievements of the students to decide who they would award the bursary to. The chair of the order, Michel Thibaudot-Deguieff, says this was a difficult decision.
And I must say that they're all very good, so it is extremely difficult to choose but one, but we have to do that.
And do they think that the government is doing enough to fight gun violence?
Thibaudot-Deguieff says that many strides have been made since the massacre to bring awareness to gendered violence. For example, she was the only woman in her engineering program when she graduated 16 years ago, but now this proportion has increased to a third. To her, it is important to focus on what has improved since then.
We're not just going to look at the problems. Let's look at the opportunities we have in this society.
The winner will be announced in the minutes to come because the ceremony is taking place as we speak.
Thank you, Sarah. That was Sarah Aldaba live from the Polytechnique School of the University of Montreal. The Longueuil police are calling on the public for help in their search for a missing girl. The girl, Anika Saint-Hilaire, went missing on Monday around 9 a.m. She is 16 years old, 5'3", and has brown eyes and brown hair. When she went missing, she was wearing a black coat, a black sweater with black pants, and grey shoes. If anyone sees Hilaire, the police urge them to immediately contact 911. A man died yesterday in Senateur-Abitibi after waiting 2 hours for an ambulance. Many emergency rooms in regions across Quebec have struggled to respond to increasing health services and demands due to labor shortages. Delphine Belzile is here with us in the studio to tell us more. Delphine, how does the labor shortage affect emergency rooms and running?
So, some emergency rooms, especially in regions, have not enough working forces to run 24/7, like it used to. What happened in Abitibi is an ongoing issue around the province. And Jean-François Gagné, labor relations assistant of the Quebec Federation of Pre-Hospitals employees, says that since emergency rooms cannot run full capacity because of lack of nurses, paramedics have to drive further to other hospitals. And in some cases, there is no time for the patient to wait that long.
So the ambulance or the paramedics have to go like far away to treat the patients, like an hour or two, more of driving to get the patient there because the local emergency is closed.
Somebody died waiting too long. Is it something new or could we have prevented it?
It is not something new. Emergency rooms need reinforcement. The ER where the man died yesterday is only open 8 hours a day, and nearby in Lachine, The ER closed a few weeks ago following lack of resources. It now runs only from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. It is an ongoing issue, and Dominique Anglade, from the opposition, said this morning that the government should have acted beforehand, acknowledging that issue.
We said it. We said it months ago that things like this could happen, and the government did not listen.
And how are paramedics handling closed emergencies?
Well, it is hard for the paramedics to ensure the safety of patients because the sector is also suffering from a labor shortage. Some emergency rooms lack ambulances and have hard times responding to the demand. Jean-François Gagné explains that paramedics are not paid per hour and they are mostly working standby, so it does not encourage paramedics to work.
But the fact is that these guys are 24 hours on and they're only paid like 12 hours a day.
So what happened in Abitibi can happen anywhere around Quebec. Labor shortage and closing emergency rooms challenge the safety of patients. So let's see how governments will respond, especially with the coming Omicron variant.
Thank you, Delphine. The public frustration with health services is taking its toll. With the pandemic fresh on our heels, Canadians are tired of the bureaucracy they have to face in clinics and hospitals. Would a reliance on healthcare entrepreneurs be the solution? Dennis Shmulevich has more.
According to a new poll, almost 60% of Canadians and 70% of Quebecers would be in favor of a model that allows private entrepreneurs to manage publicly funded hospitals. Paul Brunet, who represents a patients' rights group, says this push to privatize certain aspects of healthcare comes every 5 years and isn't anything new. He believes that the problem mainly lies with a lack of accountability.
I'm trying hard, I'm fighting hard, but I'm not sure that anyone will be accountable for the 5,000 deaths in long-term facilities, which a lot of them, thousands of them, should have never occurred if we had made appropriate decisions according to the data already available.
Would you feel comfortable knowing that the administrator of your clinic or hospital was basically a CEO? Would they be more accountable? How would that even work? Here's Maria Lily Shaw, economist at the Montreal Economic Institute, to explain it.
So the entrepreneurs will be motivated by the fact that they can keep whatever surplus they're able to make, meaning they would have to successfully operate on someone at a cost that is lower than what the government will finance them for.
Brunet says that more privatization is nothing new, but he fears that bringing in more chefs into the kitchen isn't necessarily the best approach.
The more you have people, the more you incur this kind of risk of going like an animal without a head and just running around.
Brunet adds that current health administrators must be denounced with the help of the media. He doesn't think that much will change immediately because we're going to an election. And he added that the health minister is preparing a new bill of mammoth proportions that Brunet hopes will reduce bureaucracy and enforce accountability. I'm Dennis Shmulevich for Concordia News.
Midwives are taking a stand. The Quebec Midwives Association are meeting today to begin a long overdue discussion about working conditions and pay. Here's Duncan with the story.
Miriam Bernard, the head coordinator of the Quebec Midwives Association, is pressing the fact that change in status has long been overdue and that the pandemic slowed down the progress even more.
So our entente, which is like the collective agreement, expired in March 2020, so we've been ready for quite a while.
She implies that the choice for women to give birth through midwives needs to be an available option for those who may not want to go through the conventional process. Here is nurse at the Montreal Glen, Jessica Poirier, with her thoughts.
So if midwives help them, and an increased pay for midwives would help women who are of childbirthing age and who are giving birth, then I think that, yes, they should be paid better.
Commitment and cooperation from the health and social services is what Bernard hopes to accomplish with these meetings.
So we have really one main goal, and we really want the Ministère des Santé et des Services Sociaux to commit to negotiate with the midwives today. That's our main goal. We want them to commit to this negotiation.
This is Duncan Elliott, Concordia News, Montreal.
A new poll revealed that Legault's CAQ still receives a majority support from Quebec voters. However, the poll also revealed that many think the party has made shortcomings with healthcare. 60% of Quebecers expressed dissatisfaction with the way CHSLDs and elderly residents have been managed, whilst only 42% believe that they've done a good job managing the overall health network. Nevertheless, the party has received 73% for their general handling of the pandemic. This is the highest approval compared to anywhere else in Canada. Many call for an increase of the minimum wage in Quebec, but according to a new study that came out today, 9 small and medium businesses out of 10 say that an increase in the minimum wage would have an impact on them. Marie-Catherine Gaudreau reports.
An increase in the minimum wage could have more impacts on restaurants who are already suffering with a labor shortage since the pandemic. A minimum wage at $18 an hour is not necessary, according to Martin Vizina from the Quebec Restaurants Association.
Owners are digging in their pocket to find money to pay for wages, for increasing the wages. And we've seen that since the restart of the industry in June 2021. And we believe that nobody is doing any more the minimum wage.
However, Quebec reached this year a summit in inflation since 2003. An increase in the minimum wage could help families and people with lower incomes to deal with the increase in the prices, according to Manon Massé of Québec Solidaire.
Il faut soutenir les très petites entreprises.
We have to help small and medium businesses who have the capacity to support an increase in the salary. We will support them and we won't give up on small businesses, says Massé. The salary for cooks in restaurants has already increased by 15% since 2019 because of the labor shortage, explained Vizina. If the minimum wage increases, it would have a double effect on the labor and on the product.
We don't want a major increase of the minimum wage. If we think about an increase to $80 per hour, it would cause, as we call it, a domino effect on everyone which doesn't earn the minimum wage.
There are other ways to fight against poverty, such as a bonus of the basic personal amount or an improvement in the work bonuses, according to the Canadian Federation of Independent Businesses. This is Marie-Catherine Goudreau for Concordia News, NDG.
Today marks the beginning of the 21st annual Media Food Drive, a collection of food donations which will last until the 31st of December. Donations can be made across different street locations on the Montreal Island, but also in the regions of Laval, the Laurentians, and Longueuil. Donations of non-perishable foods can be made to Provigo, Jean Coutu, and Maxi stores. For the past 2 years, the food drive has received a record number of donations, even during COVID-19 when many other charities have been struggling. The Quebec Liberal Party is proposing a National Day of Positive Mental Health in the province on March 13th. This is the day the pandemic was declared. Our reporter, Melina Levesque, spoke with the official opposition critic for mental health, David Birnbaum, on the initiative. He says provocative action towards mental health is key.
The crisis in physical health we've all been confronted with has been accompanied by a crisis in mental health. Can we at least learn from this opportunity that there's one side of mental health that we cannot ignore? And that is the active promotion of positive mental health.
How do you think the province is handling mental health situations right now?
We remain deeply concerned that the kinds of crises students, seniors, single moms, adolescents are dealing with because of this pandemic, when many of these problems already weren't being properly confronted, there needs to be concerted action. So we're deeply impatient with the CAC government for what we see as partial responses and often inefficient responses to the mental health crisis we're in.
COVID has had a significant impact on people's mental health. How are you hoping for this initiative to impact the province?
Well, it's my hope that this law will help raise consciousness about the importance of promoting good mental health.
Is the government doing enough?
The government's level of expenditures on mental health has hardly gone up. When they needed to go up in normal times, every indicator, be it of substance abuse, be it of violence against women, be it about anxiety and isolation faced by our seniors. Every indicator is showing that the pandemic has created additional and crisis-level problems with respect to mental health, and the government has refused to accept our suggestion that this is a parallel crisis to the physical health crisis.
That was Melina Levesque speaking with the Liberal critic for mental health, David Birnbaum. In today's sports news, Montreal's ice dancers won third place in the figure skating Grand Prix. Toronto Maple Leafs player Austin Matthews leads the hockey team to victory with a hat-trick. And Major League Baseball calls for a lockout after the players and the management couldn't come to an agreement. Here's Shruti Mehta with more in store.
And that's lifted into right field. Over is Tucker. Headlong dive, and he makes the catch. Heck of a catch by Tucker. Diving toward the
line.
It's
going to be a while until we have baseball games again, as the players have been locked out of Major League Baseball. Players and owners couldn't get to a collective bargaining agreement in time. Now the players don't get to use any team facilities and goodies. They also cannot sign any new contracts until this is resolved. This is the first official work stoppage since 1995. Gosh, that's the year I was born. Talking about disagreement, criticisms pour in as Lionel Messi is awarded the Ballon d'Or for the seventh time this year. They say that the organizers always find a way to give the award to Messi, and Cristiano Ronaldo seems to agree with that.
Front, Austin Matthews, beauty, and it's 3-0, and Austin Matthews is tight.
That's the sound of victory of Maple Leafs over Avalanches. Austin Matthews' hat-trick led the Toronto Maple Leafs to an 8-3 victory over Colorado's Avalanches in yesterday's hockey match. The crowds went crazy chanting Austin's name. For today's match, our very own Montreal Canadiens team is going against Colorado's Avalanches at 7 p.m. Tune in. We've got one more Montreal team to talk about. The Montreal Alliance basketball team makes it to the expansion of Canadian Elite Basketball League for the year 2022. They are accompanied by two other teams from Scarborough and Newfoundland. This expansion is giving hope for a women's pro league in the future.
Fabulous work from the Canadians in a program that they've used for two seasons.
Montreal Ice Dancers Lawrence Fournier-Vaudrey and Nicolas Sorensen are both in third place in the ISU Grand Prix figure skating. After Friday's shot programs at the Russellton Cup, the duo reached the sixth stop at the Grand Prix. They can now rest, as there are no more matches for them, because figure skating Grand Prix finals have been cancelled indefinitely due to the rising cases of the new variant Omicron. Here's an international record to cheer you up. Canadian cricketer Saad Bin Zafar makes a world record in cricket history. He became the first bowler to bowl four overs without conceding a single run as the Canadian team beat Panama at ICC Men's T20 World Cup America's qualifier. That's all for sports, folks.
Thank you, Shruti. Turning to the arts, musicians are back in Montreal after pandemic cancellations. Spotify releases its top streaming stats of the year, and a Christmas movie about the end of the world hits theaters tomorrow. Kendra Sharp is in the studio with us for Everything Entertainment. Kendra?
Here's to the lives that we've shared. To our beautiful children. Our beautiful friends. May we rest in peace.
It's Christmas Eve, and it's the end of the world. A little too close for comfort? That was Keira Knightley in Silent Night, hitting theaters tomorrow. The movie's a dark comedy set during a glitzy holiday party, and it's the night before the planet is destroyed. Festive. If apocalyptic Christmas comedies aren't your thing, Bruce Willis will be back on the big screen tomorrow in Deadlock. The movie looks to be a classic action thriller, so lots of guns, army gear, and more guns. Fun one there for you as well. The first full-length trailer of And Just Like That was released yesterday, HBO's next chapter of Sex and the City. All your favorites and some new ones are back in the trailer. Big, Charlotte, Manolos, everyone, that is, except Samantha. And Just Like That will be available for streaming on HBO a week from today. And I bet you think about me. Taylor Swift on your mind? You aren't the only one. Spotify released its hugely popular Year in Review feature yesterday. The feature gives Spotify subscribers graphics with their listening history for the year. Maybe unsurprisingly, Taylor Swift tops the charts just after Bad Bunny for the most streamed artist this year. And yes, I was embarrassingly in the top 2% of her listeners too. I get high like Colorado. That was German rock band Milky Chance. They'll be at MTELUS tonight after having to push back their show not once, not twice, but three times due to the pandemic. And you can still grab tickets for tonight's show.
Thanks, Kendra. That was Kendra Sharp with Arts and Entertainment. Today is National Fritters Day. Chefs and food lovers are whipping up dough at this moment to get ready to deep fry their favorite tasty snacks. Get down to your favorite bakery to savor on blackberry, blueberry, or apple fritters. I have never tasted a fritter, but after discovering what they are today and doing a quick Google image search, I'm definitely going to be running to try one later today. You can expect a mix of rain and snow to fall throughout the day, with slightly more clearer skies tomorrow. Today will remain in the warmer temperatures with a high of 6 degrees and a low of negative 3 degrees. From tomorrow, however, colder temperatures hit the city. During the weekend, you can expect potential flurries with a high of negative 3 degrees and a low of negative 12 degrees. This has been your 11:15 news. For Concordia News, I'm Mzwanda Laponkana. Thank you for listening and have a great day.